and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call of Timken India Limited, hosted by Spark Capital Advisors India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital Advisors India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rituja. Good evening, Mukesh here from Spark Capital. Appreciate everybody logging in. I'm very pleased to be hosting Mr. Sanjay Kaul, Chairman and Managing Director of Timken India, and Mr. Avishrant Keshava, CFO and Whole-Time Director of Timken India. We'll start with very brief opening remarks from Mr. Kaul and follow it up with Q&A. Sir, over to you for some very brief opening remarks.
Okay. Thanks, Mukesh. Thanks for arranging this. So I think the long-awaited, and we've been discussing it over the years, long-awaited news from Timken India Limited is that we have ultimately decided to invest into spherical and cylindrical roller bearings into India, which has obviously, you know, India is a growing, maturing market, and slowly it is investing a lot in mining, power gen, pulp, paper, metal, wind, and obviously, you know, there are applications in freight, passenger, extra, which are CRV, SRVs, wind, metal gears, port cranes. So all these are the markets where we are selling, but imported or we are not pushing this product line too much. And there was obviously, I have been always saying that when the time will be right, we would start investing, as we are a careful investor in the manufacturing arena. So we have made the first step by announcing that and almost 600 crore rupees investment for the time being going into manufacturing of CRBs and SRBs up to 400 millimeter range. So with that, we can get into the questions and answer accordingly.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks always for your time. So I have three questions. One, you know, on your margins, you know, and when I look at your Q2 numbers, we've seen this sharp fall, especially at the gross margin levels, you know, in the quarter just gone by. So if you could just help me understand, you know, what's driving that fall. You know, where do you believe margins kind of stabilize? You know, that's one. Second, you know, on your exports, you know, obviously we all know about the global slowdown. You know, we also heard from some vendors who supply, you know, into the bearings in the US and in EU market of a sharp deceleration which is happening. You know, and would love to hear you know, your thoughts. You know, given we also have a sizable export, you know, export sales from our Indian entities. So that's number two, and number three, sir, on the rail side also. You know, I remember you spoke about large orders. You know, given the fact for bearings, that is, given the fact that. You know, we have these large vegan orders, the one day bar trains, etc. So if you could touch upon how are we seeing the ordering on the rail side. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Akush. So margin first. So I think that that would answer, that might be an answer question from many others as well. So margins have shrunk almost, I think, 35 roughly odd crore rupees quarter on quarter. Largely, they are still the steel price increases. It's a huge pipeline of steel, which remains in the system for some months. Steel price increase, which means the equal passing it on, that equation. Steel price has been one major impact. Currency has been another. As you know, we import and also sell in India. Then while we were exporting, so there is an mix impact on that export as well. Then also domestic margin, there is a mix impact as well. These put together and, you know, sometimes we get great mix, sometimes we get a little bit of mix which is towards the tail. Put together, that was the major impact on the margins. Then on the export, obviously, you know, this is certainly a concern around the world, and Europe market is, everybody's aware, Europe market is down. It certainly is, you know, facing a challenge because of the war and then the energy cost and all that stuff is happening. China has its own problem. Today, they reported 30,000 people getting into, you know, they have been tested positive and all that stuff. But at the same time, the domestic market is pretty much okay. And North American market, though, is also stating there might be a chance that it might come down. And all companies have, you know, post this corona has worked on their inventory levels. So while we speak, our order book on export is, Europe side is not good, but rest, our order book is not bad actually, you know, as I speak today. Our order book is not bad, but who knows about tomorrow. If there is going to be a recession, which, you know, everybody is saying that looking at US that they might have the first 6 months of the calendar year might not be great and then it will come back. Europe, unless and until they cannot sort out the issue of the war, is not over. So they are under tremendous pressure. So there are those tomorrow ifs around the corner on export. But as I speak today, our export order book is pretty decent, I would say. And then on the rail side, our out of our you know mix rail. If you see last year, total for the whole year, rail was 17% of our total sales value. This quarter, it was roughly 16. So it was a little bit lower. And that is how it is. And we have a nice order book for rail. So we have one orders, and rail is where the supplies would continue. Inventory pressures, and we have to see all that, you know, in totality, payments in time and all that, but order book is nice, bearings are flowing on that. So on the rail side, I don't think we have a worry for next year. As you rightly said, export, who knows what will happen tomorrow, America might get into a recession, and Europe is bad, but then the war can end any day. And Europe might get the supplies of energy and everything would come back quickly there. And America, if they rebound after 6 months or do not go into a recession per se, has to be seen. But as I speak, our order book on export is pretty decent. And we are actually, our Jamshedpur plant is working 6 days, three shifts. So is our Bharuch plant working 6 days, three shifts as we speak. Certainly, August, September, there was certainly... it was down. We closed down the plant, Jamshedpur plant. We closed down for roughly some days there, 8 or 10 days during puja time, and also to correct you know, our own inventory system and things like that. So that is what it is as of now.
Got that. Great. Great, sir. Very helpful. All the best, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsian from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Very good evening, Sanjay. First question is pertaining to the new investment that you're making on CRV, SRV. Of course, we highlighted a few new growth areas, so one definitely has been addressed out of those. If you could give us some more color in terms of how the asset terms for this business will be. Traditional business is, to my understanding, 1.3, 1.4 times. Will be better, similar in terms of asset turns. How will the margins be? Because the customer profile will be slightly different. And also in terms of the domestic and exports, what will be the mix ideally targeted from this plant, if you can just give some more color on that.
Yes, surely, Sandeep. This is what I explained to the board in a six-hour meeting, so I can again. First of all, you know, we primarily in India are making, we are making tapered roller bearings, but we are selling all sort of bearings in India. Though some of our competitors are certainly making our same peer group is making the spherical and cylindrical in India. This market, if you see, the spherical roller bearing market in India is roughly 1,700 crore rupees market and growing at a decent CAGR. And cylindrical roller bearing market is something like 2,000 crore market. So SRBs are used in mining, power gen, pulp, paper, metals, as I said, wind. So they are being extensively used in applications, especially spherical roller bearing are known to be self-aligning bearings. So wherever the application are harsh, so these run pretty nicely. And we were making them in different parts of the world, America, Europe, and China. But now, as the Indian market is graduating towards the more like stationary equipment, more infra push is coming in, and our Mining Act might get, get that together, and that picks up metal as it goes on. So these spherical roller bearings we are selling in India in limited quantities. We were importing them and selling them in India. Though the fundamentally spherical roller bearings are same, you forge them, you turn them, you heat treat them, you grind them, you assemble them, and we obviously have the technology available for doing spherical roller bearings and also cylindrical roller bearings. So similarly, on cylindrical roller bearings, these are again used, in the similar field of metal, wind, gear drive, sports crane. So generally, we are, known to be in India, known to be pretty much a leadership position in tapers. On cylindrical sphericals, we were selling on critical application, but because of high cost of import and, sometimes importing out of America, selling in India is not easy and things like that. So this market size, both put together, is 4,000 crore market, and we have almost a ready-made supply chain available in India, up to certain size ranges. Technology is available with Timken for decades on these bearings. And then our knowledge on these applications, obviously, we can put in more new technologies in terms of bearing profiles and bearing design, etc. So that goes into it, and this is obviously, we have to work in the market. It is a decent gross margin business, and obviously, we will invest only when for every rupee invested, the sale has to be more than two. So we will, between two to three, and obviously, initially you invest, and then you capitalize, and then you ramp up, and then you do the PPAPs with the customers, and it all, and ramping up PPAP training all takes time. And then, once you stabilize, then you get the numbers, and then obviously when you produce more, then you can obviously your cost of manufacturing comes down, and then your margins go up. So it's a process that generally, we will, start the project. It is already working on the paper, and hopefully by the end of 2024, so, I am taking 24 months to start supplying the bearings, build to finish, building these days 7-8 months. Asset lead time is going to be obviously, and we will be using state-of-the-art assets, so these won't be low technology, low grade. These would be the modern automation, industry 4.0, and things like that. So these will be state-of-the-art assets, and these will be the assets for tomorrow, not today. So robotics, all that would be in it, less manpower, and then, this would be the start. These are all size range dependent, so first step or first foray is with that. So I think 4,000 crore market, we don't sell much in India. We do sell certainly, but not a huge number. So with our knowledge on supply chain, manufacturing, global knowledge on these assets. So I am pretty much, and knowing the price points of India market, we are still making money by importing. So, you know, we understand this market pretty well. Customers are saying, say, for example, if I can say Tata Steel, they use our tapers. We do sell them spherical extra, but not in huge numbers. So same customers, steel industry, same wind industry. So we know the industry pretty well. And in fact, you know, a lot of questions from the industry that when can you start making them in India so that we can use based on our performance extra. So this is going to be certainly a growth market for TIL. And for every rupee invested, our sale has to be more than two. Between two and a little bit more than that as well. But it is going to be a journey where the maturity will take time from the time of producing the first lot of PFAB to the time of, you know, making it bulk where my capacity utilization is 85%. So that journey obviously takes some time.
Got it. Well, that's very detailed. Thank you so much for explaining this. And I'm assuming a lot of this will also replace your existing that 18-20% of distribution business, process industry, which is about 12-13% of sales, which we are importing and selling, will become locally manufactured. And
right. So we can local, and then, you know, there are part numbers where we were not able to, you know, maybe compete very well. You know, we don't want to kill our margins by buying the business. We have been always careful about that. So there's a lot of growth also attached to it. And when you say, for example, on a gearbox, we are already supplying a taper. Then you start supplying them taper, CRB, SRB together. So, you know, it becomes a complete value package. It is going to be obviously complementing our current and taking that us to the next level. Say, for example, we are weak in paper because of the fact that paper does not use, it does use papers, but not a whole lot of paper. Sugar industry uses a whole lot of SRBs, extra, extra. Railways, all these coaches you see in Bombay running, they use SRB 2236, 2238. These are the two part numbers I remember from my youth. So, you know, these are the areas where we know the market very well, and, I think we are pretty much decent and expert in manufacturing. So this is going to be a nice ride once we start producing in bulk.
Oh, great that the company is doing this investment in the listed entity. Sanjay, as a part of bookkeeping, can you help us with the revenue breakup with for either 2Q or first half, whichever
so
way
you like to share? I can tell you, April to September, which is 16% was rail, mobile was 20, distribution was 17%, and the process industry was 16, and exports was 32. That is April to September, and last quarter was again rail 16, mobile 20, distribution 17, process 16, and so same, almost same.
Sorry, and its processing was how much?
Process was 16.
16, same, okay, got it.
Distribution was 17. So between distribution and process, that is, you know, 17 plus 16.
Got it. And last question from my side is on one of the other growth drivers that you were mentioning during the last interaction is on defense and aerospace. You said the market locally is definitely not big for you guys to localize those bearings and venture into that side. Definitely you would want to absorb the CRB SRB part first, but any thoughts on that you would like to give us maybe in next 2 years or 5 years, when can we see those bearings getting localized and that market becoming big in India?
So, you know, certainly the defense industry in India is sunrise industry. There are no two thoughts about it, both in terms of defense aviation and civil aviation. Civil aviation is so slowly catching up. When I say civil aviation, does not necessarily mean building civil aircrafts. The repair and refurbishment of the engines and landing gears has not really started in a big way in India. But now, with the amount of passenger traffic which Indian aviation is doing on the civil aviation, commercial aviation, is huge. The numbers are huge. So they cannot afford to send now engines to Singapore and Colombo and other areas and Malaysia for refurbishment, though Indian, obviously, engineering is pretty sound. So as that that takes form, which will take off. It is on the radar of everybody to start doing the landing gear refurbishment and engine rebuild or remanufacturing or testing in India in full ways, not in a small way. So that consumes MRO, and obviously these are high-end bearings where the failure rate has to be zero. So this is coming up. And on the defense side, whether it is helicopters, light helicopter, and now India has started peddling or trying to sell these to the outside world as well. So this industry is going to come up definitely. This industry will have a nice home in India. And they use spherical, they use extended tapers, they use high-end ball bearings, they use cylindrical sphericals. So all of that, currently we are certainly importing them wherever there is the sale to be happening. Just to share with you, every landing, every time a Boeing aircraft lands anywhere in the world, it is on Timken bearings. So they are made in U.S. currently. But as the critical mass grows and Boeing starts doing more stuff in India, so we not only have the technology, we have also the intimate knowledge of the aviation industry and the defense industry. So this is, after we do SRB, CRBs, the new sunrise market in India is certainly defense. And another one which is also slowly growing is food and beverage. This food and beverage, obviously, as we start becoming more westernized in our food habits, as you start eating more Kurkures and more of the chips and more of the processed food, and those who guys eat meat, processed meats and all that, they use plenty of machines, which you need plenty of bearings, and then obviously their MRO, companies like Buller, etc., who are into rice, they produce special machines for rice and others. So that is another big, 1.3 billion people, and who are slowly going towards eating more and more of processed foods. And processed food is again highly dependent on factories which produce that food. So defense, food and beverage, all these are sunrise, and we are connected, and as it becomes more, and also another area is export of medical equipment out of India. More of CAT scans, those CT scan machines and things like that, as they start importing, exporting them out of India, would be another industry. So we are watching them, and we are not shy of investing, but we want to make sure that there is the right critical mass, and we guarantee return of the investment and also the shareholders' value. So we are watching each segment pretty closely. We work with these industries very closely, and definitely a matter of time. As I was saying, for Timken India Limited, SRB, CRB, matter of time, right time, and that time has come. It's same for the defense industry. I'm saying defense both from the army procurement to naval procurement to aviation. Naval also is a big consumption of bearings. If you start making naval crafts in India more and more, they require gearboxes, they require a lot of bearings. Aviation, we spoke about it. Similarly, as we start making more tanks in India and more high-end, heavy-duty army vehicles, armored carriages and things like that, all require a lot of good bearings. They cannot use bearings which will break down while we are at war with somebody. So all this is coming, and coming at a faster pace, and if the political stability remains and the focus remains as it is today, so it is not far.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Sandeep Tulsian to please rejoin the queue? We have participants.
I'm done with the question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on announcing much acquired and much awaited capacity expansion. So my first question was a bookkeeping one. Could you help us with the capacity utilization of AEC bearings? And could you just clarify that whether most of it is being used for exports?
So the capacity utilization, so we are making both currently both the Timken Circle R at our Bharuch plant and the ABC. So capacity utilization as we speak is around 70%, and we make some small CRBs there under the ABC brand, and we make largely the... So currently we are out of the whole produce, 30-35% is Timken Circular, and rest is still producing ABC, and you know, as the Indian off-highway recently had a good traction, so they are consuming some of these ABC. So around 70 is the capacity utilization. Like Jamshedpur, you know, barring these, you know, last 2 months, they were almost at 90% utilization, 85-90. And now this one, they are back at 90. And Bharuch is 30-35% given, you know, depending on the month, is making circular. So we are exporting. We have started exporting. Unfortunately, the Europe one would have been quite helpful, but still the North American markets and other areas we are exporting. And we are also selling domestically. Timken Circular out of that plant, and which is now from, you know, we have converted some of the application to True Hardened, and we are still making ABC out of that plant.
Sir, would you be able to share the what is our revenue contribution coming from the ABC plants?
Yeah, let me check with my CFO. The revenue contribution ABC. Yeah, so we are not giving the breakup.
Got it, sir. No problem. So my second question was on your roughly on your broader strategy. Just going through the transcripts by the parent entity in the US, they have been talking about, you know, adding incremental capacity addition in low cost geographies and also focusing on acquisitions. How much of that strategy which they've spoken about will seep into the Indian entity? If you can just highlight some points there. Thank you.
So, you know, obviously, you know, Timken company globally is doing the merger and M&As continuously. And recently, they took over another bearing company called GGB, which is Glacier Bearings, the old Gerlach Glacier Bearings. So they are continuously augmenting that. And those technologies are also available for us to, at some point of time, to be used. We globally are growing around the bearings, so in the powertrain. So it is belts, it is chains, it is pulleys, it is plain bearings. GGB does plain bearing. Plain bearing are used now in the wind industry quite nicely, and they go into some of the applications in mining as well. So while that strategy is on, you know, in India also, you know, we are always on the lookout of good M&As, but unfortunately, the Indian M&As are always very tricky and costly. But that M&A of the Timken Global strategy hopefully helps Timken India Limited also to grow, as we can at some point of time see if there is a synergy to connect the dots on belts, pulley chains, etc. So that is on one side, and their capacity augmentation in other areas, which they have done, certainly Mexico is one which they want to do for their own local market there. But those strategies are in place, and our strategy, they are not kind of counter, they are complementing each other. They are in synchronization, and India is the best cost. I don't want to use the low cost. We are the best cost, you know, cost quality delivery, and you know, given the dynamics of China and China plus one, and how India is panning out, I think India will remain a strong player for many years, based on as our logistics also improve. You know, logistic cost in India is high, you know, 12-14%, and the government wants to bring it to at least 8%, and that is a great move. You know, just imagine that if 4-5% gets added to the bottom line if government of India gets the act together, which we see happening. So Indian cost or Indian skill or Indian mechanical engineering has a lot to offer. And I'm not saying only about Timken, in general for all the industry. So India is destined, you know, India is destined to become the workshop of the world. You know, it is the decade of India. And any company who are do their, you know, expansion, they will always expand in India as well. And obviously, you know, they all strategize, they look at it deeply. And India is the shining star. This decade belongs to India. So if there are capacity expansions in other low-cost, best-cost countries, I will not hurt India. We'll make the competition more strong, whichever company it is.
Understood, sir. So just one clarification. Would it be fair to expect your margins to revert back to that historical 20, you operated at 25%+ levels. So would it be fair to say that you will probably go back to those levels going forward, with assuming that, you know, raw materials and cost like freight come down incrementally going forward?
I cannot speak about future, anything future margin which can impact the stock exchange and all that, we do not speak about it. But in general, the steel industry, how it is happening, the logistic problems which are there, how they are sorting out, and our endeavor obviously always is to grow profitably and deliver the profitable numbers. But to make a peanut butter spread guess for future margin is not, you know, we cannot speak about that. But the endeavor certainly is, and you know the industry better than me, how is steel happening, and, now the steel all of a sudden, they are going to export. Now, what is the impact of that going to be on the steel pricing? Coming months will tell. But our endeavor obviously is always to make sure that we use the best cost of supply chain and make our mix more healthy. And the idea is that the margins keep on remaining intact. But, you know, currently it is pretty, you know, this steel impact has to be seen how that pans out in coming weeks and months.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Fortunately, you know, the way we know, Europe is down, so which is bad, because a lot of Indian companies export to Europe. The good thing is that Europe is down. The steel cannot be consumed, so the steel pricing might not get impacted. So let us see what happens in next 2-3 weeks' time.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you, sir.
Steel industry recently were together. Let us see what they talked about. They were together recently in some major international forum. So let us see how it behaves.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Damnaskar from Invesco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks Mr. Call for giving an opportunity. So I have two questions. So first is just on clarification. You mentioned the plant-wise capacity utilization. But broader level, what's the capacity utilization of all your plants combined? If you could give some.
You know, August, September, our utilization definitely was down. And as we speak, both the plants are running 6 days, three shifts. So currently we are running all 6 days, all three shifts. So which means that the capacity utilization should be around 85%. We kind of plan like that. And then December is always a month where some days has to be taken off for inventory purposes, year-end inventory. So that has an impact on the grid, generally two and a half days. That does. And the last quarter of the year looks pretty healthy. So it should be running pretty at capacity, you know, full capacity utilization. Both domestic, for us, domestic and export together, should be running pretty okay.
Right. So from a 24 perspective, would you have capacity to take care of the growth which will come in FY24 in the various revenue streams which you generally have?
So, pretty good question and important question. As we start in April next year, running towards that physical year, and we are expecting it to be the last year of the current government, investments should get a little bit more push, and hopefully the heavy truck market behaves nicely and all that stuff. So we are looking at, you know, we have assets available globally which are not running. We can always utilize them, bring them here. We have space available, so we are looking at these closely, and we do have some plans to see if the demand sustains to do a little bit of more capacity extension. Not a huge lot, but a little bit. But still too early to predict about it. We'll see how the demand looks. But we can use the asset, and then obviously we can always import from our other plants and sell in India.
Right. And for this shifting, the lead times can be how low to these assets which you're talking about, if at all?
We can always make the sale depending on how fast the market picks up from our buy from our other plants of Timken globally, so they have capacity available. As you know, there are plants where we have the capacity globally available, so we can use that capacity and start selling, and then see how much incremental push we need to do. We have been last 2-3 years continuously investing in our roller expansion and things like that, and our suppliers all also they have been continuously ramping up, and we are making sure that the back end is also available. So if the market jumps out 10-15-20%, I don't see a problem not being able to supply it.
Got it. Yeah, this was helpful. And the second question was again on this these large capex which you have announced. So you said, I think in the opening remarks you mentioned that there's a 600 crores to start off to start with. So is it that there are you guys are basically thinking about some new capex which is in the pipeline, and in any timeline to it? And can you throw some light on this?
So we went to the board with our 600 crore expansion plan on SRB CRB, and the SRB CRB market and bearing market is size dependent. So first we will do that, and if there is a business case tomorrow to do further size ranges, then we'll go to the board and look at that. And we are always looking at that. We are always, that is our part of our job, to look at the markets and see that. And, like when we started our Jamshedpur plant, we started with three lines. And, and then every year the expansion a little bit here, and then it's a huge complex now. And similarly, we took over Bharuch and we started putting in new furnaces, etc. So once you start on a product line, it does not stop with that in general. But will it be, another double, triple time, we'll say. First, we need to complete it. And start making money on it by 24 end.
Got it. So it may get upsized marginally as time progresses. Fair enough. And last question is, I think you gave some sense on the size of opportunity for these SRB and CRBs in India. But can you give us what the addressable market for you would be to start off with from an export perspective? Because the plants for the new plant, I'm talking about. Exports will simultaneously start, or that will come later?
So on the size range, so if I take a step back, while Timken invented the taper roller bearing, Timken started supplying spherical and cylindrical only after taking over the Timken company, taking over a company company called Torrington. I don't remember the year, but we are into the, and Torrington is a very old company making SRB, CRBs, and they were market leaders actually out of America. And our market share globally for the Timken company and for us here in India, SRB, CRB is small, and globally also it is small. And knowing this market outside, market in ASEAN, market in Australia, market in META, where there are these steel industries, where there is a lot of port and crane and things like that, a lot of graders are available. So export and domestic would go hand in hand. So as soon as we start making, we'll start making it for both domestic and export together. Now, Rashu will see as per the demand and how do we, Timken is established player in other parts of the world, so we don't need to establish ourselves, but we'll see how the demand turns out. But to your question, direct answer is that we'll do both exports and domestic together, so there's nothing like domestic for export later.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Ranjan from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sanjay. Just two questions. One is on, when we look at your localization in your paper is very, very pretty high. So when we start this ARB and SRB, so are we thinking of similar line of localization and to begin with, or it will gradually happen over a period of time when we ramp up and then we'll do more localization? So what is the way forward in that?
Very good. So you're speaking like our global CEO. So obviously, you know, the supply chain is critical always for A, speed to the market, and B, for cost, and obviously, you know, related things, which is margins and things like that. So supply chain is our forte, you know. Timken started manufacturing in India in 1990, and our other peer group were manufacturing long before that, but you know, still the supply chain were not that robust, and Timken, I should say that should take the credit of creating a global cage manufacturing in India. You know, it was started by Timken, or you know, both the listed companies, whether it is cage or rings, Timken had started them, nurtured them, and obviously they are serving the market completely. So our focus would be obviously localization from the word go, and you know, we have a big team already working on it with our supplier base, existing and new, and the idea is to create a best cost the supply chain backend. So the backend is similar to tapers actually. So it is. You know, rings, so steel, forging, rings, turning, heat treat, so area is same, shape is different. So Priyanjan, to your question, yes, our success will lie in also creating a very nice domestic, vibrant supply chain.
Okay, and so just to summarize what you have said initially in terms of the production, will start probably by the end of 2024, so any revenue benefit, etc., should start reflecting in FY26.
December 24 is the time which I'm looking at that our product will start coming out. And you're right. So that FY, you'll start looking at the revenues.
Okay. And sir, now we have addressed this, the other bearing part. So the two, three aspects which are yet to be addressed is basically one is like lubrication and all these businesses plus the chain, etc. So do you see the market is ripe, or I mean the market in India has become such a scale that we also need to start investing or thinking of investing in that, those domains at least?
Lubrication, yes, it's a market which is quite nicely maturing in India and is also high margin business. And this can also, if you create a base in India, can become also a very good export model. Same thing goes for coupling, which is used by the industry. Similar, where they use a bearing, most probably they will use a you know, similar coupling as well. So this market obviously is augmenting each other, and coupling, lubrication, these are pretty industrial belt. Also in India, there is high end industrial belt manufacturing is still not that much in India, though we got nice Indian companies doing a good job. So all this is on our table for thinking, strategizing, looking at it, and you know, obviously, time will tell when the Timken India would foray into that. But our principals are certainly manufacturing it. They are also sourcing a little bit in small buckets from India and other places. Time will say, but definitely these M&As of the corporation should get connected to best cost countries at some point of time. But currently, we have no immediate plans to invest.
Understood, sir. And so just coming back to your defense, because you have highlighted that this is a sunrise industry. So in terms of the LCA, I mean, the advanced light helicopter and all this, so are we already supplying, or are we already supplying through imports, etc., or what is our status out there?
So LCA, Timken is the major supplier actually, and also not only bearings, the rotor application up there. So Timken is a major supplier. We've been supplying that for some years, and also on some other applications as well, which HAL is doing, similarly to ISRO as well. So we are already already present on that.
That's true, sir. Thank you, sir.
Timken has been doing globally Apache helicopter for since it has been designed, or Bell helicopter. So Timken has a very strong history of Navy through Philadelphia gear, and also aviation through Timken Aerospace. So a lot of knowledge in that area.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav from Invesco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
Thank you for the call. Just wanted to check as regards the do you have any?
Sorry to interrupt you, Pranav, but we cannot hear you.
Is this better?
Yes. Please go ahead.
As regards dealing with Timken entities or group entities, both on purchase and sales, do you have any policy as regards how RM raw material pass-through happens, or how the currency pass-through happens? Is it invoice specific, or it's every quarterly there is a reset? Could you help understand that?
You're talking about transfer pricing.
You'll have to come here, then we can't hear.
Yes. Hello.
So you're talking about transfer pricing.
Yes. So, as regards both the pass-through of the currency as well as raw material.
So I'm not getting you. Like, pass-through of currency, the currency is...
Suppose, technically, if, say, today the rupee and USD is 82, okay, you get a contract from a US entity. I mean, is 82 fixed? Are the contracts for specific bearing on exports, is 82 fixed for a full year, or every quarter you will get that currency, and then how does it happen? The similar with RM, is RM up to a range pass-through, not pass-through, both when you purchase as well as sell them?
Okay, I got your point. Especially for the intercompany you are talking about?
Yeah, intercompany, especially, yeah, when you're dealing with the group entities.
So when we are dealing with the group entities, so whatever is the cost, there is a uplift factor. So that uplift factor changes every quarter. And when we deal in intercompany, any transaction, everything is in USD, nothing is in INR.
Okay. So within a quarter, if the currency variation is more than that uplift factor, then it is a pass-through, is it?
See, today, or if this, say, currency is, say, 50 rupees, and you have got selling something at with the uplift factor 100 rupees, so it will go at $2. Tomorrow, this will change. Suppose 100 rupees becomes $3, then it will become...
So the short answer is that it is passed on. So it is arm's length transfer pricing, passed on everything.
And this happens quarterly?
Yes.
That is right.
Okay. The other aspect is when you get into SRBs and CRBs, do you have to pay any additional technical fee or royalty to the parent entity?
If we get the technology, we'll pay.
Yeah, if we have to get the technology from them, obviously it won't come free. So there would be some fee, but there won't be any major changes to the current norm. So it will be the same
range as such.
Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned one of your facilities was shut during this quarter. So for 7 to 10 days, if I've understood you correctly.
I don't remember. Some days we had closed. I think during the puja time we had closed. I don't remember 4 or 5 days we had closed because of puja, and also to kind of do the dentic painting and all that stuff.
Okay. So there is no one-off in the current quarter as regards those expenditure or anything. Just wanted to confirm that.
No one. Have you had any one-off? No. No one-offs.
Okay. Sure. Thank you, gentlemen, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sonia from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is on the CAPEX. We have announced 600 crores CAPEX. So how much of that will be there in the current quarter, and how much will be doing it in FY24? Second question is on the revenue growth. Now, like after seeing degrowth in FY20 and 21, company has delivered strong revenue growth in FY22, and it has continued in the first half also. So, looking at the overall demand scenario, you expect this momentum to continue going ahead?
Yeah, okay, so, you know, I might have lost some of your questions, but, you know, investment, FY23, 300 crores, FY24, 300 crores. So that is how the current, so that is how it is panned out. And you know, the market in India is pretty much okay. As we see, our order book is pretty much okay. So, you know, we'll be continuously producing and selling. As I spoke earlier also, we are currently running all our both the factories at, you know, 6 days, 3 days, three shifts. So that is pretty much okay. Order book looks okay. Unless there is a major upheaval, the Indian domestic market looks okay. Export, Europe, if the war all of a sudden closes down, you know, it started suddenly, it might close down suddenly. And then again, the Europe obviously will need bearings, and that particular country which is destroyed will need plenty of bearings. So we'll see that, but barring that, the growth Indian, you know, GDP, you know, has to, will be above 5, may not touch 7, but 5, 5.5, 6 is going to happen, and we always make sure that we outgrow the market, and that has been our strategy. Our CAGR of last 5 years can tell you the story. So we would make sure that we carry that momentum, both in terms of the top line and the bottom line. That is the endure. And what was your, ma'am, third question?
The third question I'm about to ask. It's mainly on the operating margins of SRB and CRB. Basically, since earlier we used to import that and sell, and now we'll be manufacturing it, so will there be a substantial increase in margins once the commercialization starts?
So there will be certainly substantial reduction of cost. So cost will certainly come down. You know, Indian cost of manufacturing is lower. Logistic cost would not be used. We'll use the local steel. We are already in the process of developing suppliers, and there are already some which are already developed. So the cost would come down significantly, and hopefully the market the market remains at those price points, then obviously the margins are going to be better. But in case the margin, the price points of the market fall down, then we will have to see.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Sara from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, with regards to the 600 crore capex, if you could give a sense of, was there a discussion between, say, India and the country, you know, for Timken as a group, and then, you know, Timken India kind of was chosen, or was it like given that India will be doing this capex? Because, like you mentioned, globally also Timken is not very strong in SRB and CRB. So, has India always been the choice there?
So, you know, just to make sure that we have the clarity, I said that our penetration globally on SRB, CRB is not the number one position. So there is space for Timken to grow globally in that space. In SRB and CRB, you know, through Torrington, we are very old, but in the new form, it is only 3 decades or so. So there is room for us to grow in that market, and every year it is a growing line of business for Timken globally. And in India, you know, forget Timken, I think India globally is becoming obviously a destination of choice. And the reason certainly is that, you know, the China plus one will pan out slowly. You know, it has to pan out. So that is very much there. Indian GDP is growing. You know, we are 3.6 trillion market. By 2030, you will be 5 trillion market. Out of that 5 trillion market, currently you are 15% in manufacturing. Tomorrow, if that becomes 25%, you can understand that, you know, how strong we would be. You know, then your Make in India is happening. Clean India is happening. Clean India, by the way, also uses bearings. Skill India to fund our growth of manufacturing in India, I'm saying, not per Timken only.
Sure.
So all this is going to be pretty much, steel policy, mineral policy, all this is happening. India is becoming a better industry destination. As I earlier said, food production is, we are pretty strong in food production globally. Already, global retail market in India, we are a strong player. So as the national master plan, rail master plan, vehicle scrap policy, energy policy, just to tell you the number, India per capita, we do 3,000 watt consumption per head in India, and US is 10 times more. So I think that this 5 trillion economy and manufacturing there means a boost for all companies which has the depth and has the intent and has the governance to do it will certainly ride the wave. So I'm seeing this is a per se manufacturing in India is going to remain strong and people will grow. Indian economy is growing. So, nobody can say it is not growing. 2014 we had 2 trillion. We are now 3.6 trillion. And then 5 trillion will happen if the stability certainly remains there. Defense is growing. Naval is growing. Food production is growing. All this is these are the parameters which are very evident. You can see it happening. If you take a picture of landing in a tier 2 city, so for example, Mukesh, you go to Indore. If you had taken a picture of Indore from the airport 10 years back, you see that skyline. This is Google it and see the skyline today. This is tier 2 city. And you can see the massive change. So this change is reflecting what is happening in India. And for us, making SRBs and CRBs in India has been on the anvil for a long time in the sense, strategy-wise, because this is one area where our knowledge would help, and then Indian cost quality delivery will further help. And then being part of a global group, utilizing it for further growth is very much there. Timken Company is strong globally. After Timken Company did away with steel, they were 2.56 billion. They are back to $4 billion company, growing at a nice growth. Very profitable company, as you guys know more than me. In the peer group, they are also very profitable. Our footprint in Timken Company globally is pretty strong. And India, we have still a way to go. Indian economy is growing. Indian consumption is growing. And there's chance to invest more and more. And India is generally speaking, and then I'll come to Timken. Any company, I am the chairman for the Karnataka American Chamber and also the vice chairman for the American Chamber in India. So I sit on many committees, and every company, be it Boeing, Lockheed Martin, all these companies, and we hear them. They respect India a lot.
Sure.
Obviously, our political stability has to remain firm. Logistics have to become better. Ease of doing business is becoming better. It has to become lot more better in coming years. So all that put together, long story short is that nobody can deny India its space. And for Timken also, India is important. We do a lot of manufacturing in India. We have a lot of engineering, which is not part of TIL, but our other dairy entity, they have a lot of engineering is done. Global engineering is done out of India. So India is valued, and that helps. And we have built the trust over the years and delivered it both for our retail shareholders, for the market, for FIs, and for the they are also our largest stakeholders. So all put together, India has a very nice place within the Timken Group, which will help augment further growth in coming years.
Sure. Thanks. And just a couple of very quick ones. There was some commentary from one of your peers that the wind end market is kind of slowing down. Obviously, it's indirect exports as well over there. So what's your view there? Are you seeing any temporary slowdown there on the wind?
With China wind market is booming. Suddenly booming. There are some, Europe has a challenge, and there are some within those Flinders, ZFs, and all those guys who make the gearboxes. They are moving their production, production between the countries, etc. So that is happening. Wind, if you say the Indian wind market, it was obviously always slow. It was growing slightly, but making gearboxes out of India and exporting it around the globe.
Yeah.
If that was the commentary, and it is always gearboxes, that size range, etc., etc. So I would say, you know, the previous size range are shrinking. So if that commentary was made in the context of a particular size range, 2 megawatt,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Answer is they are slowing. But then the new platforms are 4 megawatt, 5 megawatt, 6 megawatt, for which everybody is not producing bearings in India will be imported, is picking up. So wind is a complicated market. It is not an easy market which goes slow and steady like the Indian Railway. It can go up, zoom up, drop like a rock. So it is a little bit of a volatile market. But you know, I was seeing China was pretty much, you know, China windmill market is not slowing down actually. And they are consuming gearboxes from other parts of the world as well. And now you have Nanjing High Speed making gearboxes in Chennai. So there is a Chinese company making gearboxes in India for the other consumption.
Great. And you kind of commented on railways. So Indian Railways is looking to, you know, procure 90,000 wagons like you mentioned last time as well. So will our market share kind of remain the same at this higher quantity very broadly, say, over the next 3 years?
So, you know, the railway 90,000, that those orders are out and those orders are running and we are producing and we have secured bulk of these orders. So, yeah, we should be okay. But then wagon industry itself should have the money. You know, they should be continuously be able to get the money from the end user. All that chain has to remain flawless. Currently, it is okay. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, we cannot predict. But as we speak, it's pretty much okay.
Right, right. Great, sir. I think we have kind of...
yes, the time is over.
Time.
And
I
think great question. We always learn and we get the insight from experts. You know, the, you talk to all the variety of... so you have the right questions which help us also. And thank you very much for this call.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time and patiently answering the questions.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Spark Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.